Well, guys, here's what we're talking about today. We have a God who is more than enough. He is more than enough. And here's the verse I want to give to you. Ephesians 3, chapter 20, verse 21. This is probably one that you may already know off by heart, or you've heard some people say it, but don't let your familiarity with this verse cause you to deny it or forget about it or go, I'm not even sure about this verse. No, it's really good. It says, now unto him who is able to do, this is talking about Jesus, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or think. Come on, you're going, is there more to this verse than that? There is. According to the power that works in us. There's a power that's working in you. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Come on, church, this is the shot in the arm that you need to know that God loves you and that he can work everything out and that he does the impossible. Isn't that good news? Isn't it good news that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think? Because a lot of times our thoughts are like we're worrying too much, or we're anxious too much, or we've got too many disaster things. You know when you catastrophize, you're like, oh, well, this thing, and it's all be that. No, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. So here's the only thing you have to do. Trade it. Paul said it like this. He thinks himself happy. How good is that? So if you can get a 1% little bit of faith or a tiny wee bit of positive thoughts going on in terms of faith in God, and watch what the Lord will do. He will multiply it. He will increase it. He will do exceedingly abundantly. That is how good our God is. But today, as we are thinking about Project Possible, maybe you saw our video during the week. You did see it. I think it turned out all right. I think it was good. We've already had some good feedback. Some good friends from around the world watched it and saying, yeah, we love it. We're praying for you and we're going to support the project. So it has really been a blessing and permission to share. Share far and wide. We want people to do it. In fact, Caroline just told me this morning, when she goes to Belarus for a month in a few weeks' time, she just feels she's going to go to a few different churches and she wants the churches over there to give what they can and to pray for this project. So I'm like, wow. I said, how'd you get this? She was like, I don't know. I just had a God just spoke to me. I wanted to be faithful. I wanted to come to you and say what I'm going to go and do. So God is doing things, church, bigger than we can imagine or think. We just got to get our head out of, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. It's going to happen. Amen. It's going to happen. So to help us, here's what we're going to do. We're going to look back and remember. We're going to look back and see how far we've come. So let's go personal just for a few moments. Does anybody have, maybe you've got, it's in the wardrobe, or maybe it's on the door edge. You know way maybe you're younger, or you're doing it right now for yourself, and you mark your height? You know, sometimes you do it, it starts off here, and it just gets bigger, and sometimes your kids come to you, and you go, I don't think I've grown any, and they would go, okay, let's check, and they're like, whoa, I've grown, like, they're so happy, you know, like, if you didn't know about those marks, if you didn't look back, you could say, I haven't changed a bit, I haven't grown at all. But when our kids look back, or maybe when you were a kid and you look back, you're like, I did. I've grown. This is so good. I mean, this, I know it might be important to you, but when you're three, it's pretty important. Do you know what I'm saying? It's pretty important when you're three. It's pretty important when you're seven. Like, you want to know that something's happened, that you're getting taller, that you're getting bigger, because you want to be as big as you. You want to be as tall as you. And so looking back is important. Or maybe you've done that thing where you went in your phone and you were just going to grab something and then you got into the photos folder for some reason. And then before you know it, you're like, I can't believe I picked it, God. You're like, or you see yourself like, was that me? You just, all these memories. And it reminds you, we've come a long way. We've come a long way. Can I say it like this, church? You've come a long way in your fields. You've come a long way. You've come a long way. Look what the Lord has done. We signed up to start. Look what the Lord has done. This is so important. If we don't look back and take stock of what the Lord has done, we will do ourselves and the Lord a disservice. And we will say to ourselves, oh, I don't know if I've come that far. I don't know if I've done that well. I'm telling you, you've done far better than you think. And the only way to know is to look back and go, look how far we've come. Guys, another one for ourselves, to encourage ourselves in the church, because we're raising money, we're believing, God has done great things. You know, when I look back, I think to myself, look what the Lord has done in the last few months, the last couple of years, to raise $320,000 so far. It's incredible for phase two. That is unbelievable. Yeah, we need a million, but look how far we've come. It's unbelievable. But here's even better than this. I look back on our software that we have, the server records, not everything, but the majority of the donations. We don't always have to put them there. It works a different way, but we just have the Visa software for our benefit, just for our benefit that helps us. When I put the data in from the start, I did it yesterday, just encouraged me. From 2014 to now, guess how much? We have raised as a church for missions, for this place, for the building works for everything, £2 million. That's incredible. Can we praise the Lord for that even? Because I think you got to remember how far you've come. How far we've come. You, if we didn't know that that was there and that data has been inputted and that's been verified, you just go, okay, there's just no way. I think sometimes in life, church, if you're so used to a small world with maybe working for a boss that has a small mindset and you're living in a world that's always trying to drag you down, then when good things come, you go, ach, no, sure, couldn't be, couldn't be. I'm telling you, the Lord only does good things. He only does good things. And he's got good plans for you and he's got good plans for the church. And here's the wonderful thing about the Lord. He's not saying at the expense of your personal life, will you see the kingdom built? He said, I can do both. I can do both. I can do it for you, 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 and you. And I can also do it for the church. And I can do it for Africa. I can do it for America. I've got all covered, says the Lord. He says, all I'm looking for is a people that would trust me. A people that would trust me and honor me and give me their lives and give me their time and give me their everything. And watch what the Lord will do. It's unbelievable. So as we look back, it helps us to go forward. As we look back, we remind ourselves, look what the Lord has done. Last week, we said it like this. God fills us. Not just to make us feel good, but you can feel good. And he doesn't just fill you to go, oh, look, God's good. He fills you so you can overflow. He fills you so you can make a difference in people's lives. This is the goodness of God. You know, some days the biggest challenge in my life is that I want to do more, but I feel physically tired. Or I want to do more, but I feel like I haven't got the capacity to do it. And then sometimes I pray to God, and what I discover is God gives me more. God helps me to be more. I hope you do that. I hope that you realize you can pray those kind of prayers. We've asked the Lord and suddenly he fills you. And now you're not just on your own strength, you're his strength. In fact, here's the discovery that I've made that's transformed everything. I don't have to do it in my strength anymore. I can do it all in his strength. Amen. You can do it all in his strength. And he will help you in every sphere and in every aspect of your life. See, the enemy wants you to live small, but God says, hey, I'm going to bring you into big places. Last week, just to go back just for a moment again to help us to go forward, we looked at the life of Gideon. If you missed it, Gideon was hiding out in a wine press. He was hiding out in a wine press. It's like you could have been hiding anywhere, but that's where he found himself. And yet the Lord comes to him and says, Gideon, you're my man. You're an incredible man of God. And you're like, you know, that of you, Gideon was called a warrior. Do you know what that's like, church? It's like coming to you in the morning and you're hiding out in your bedroom and you're like, I don't want to go to work. And the Lord comes to you and goes, you're my warrior. You're going to do incredible things. You're like, I don't even want to go to work. I'm trying to say, come on, hopefully you've been there. Come on, guys. I know, tough cry. But what I'm trying to say this is we've all been there. And Gideon was a mighty man of God. And look what he'd done. He was digging holes, not to put dead people in the ground, but to put himself in the ground. Because when you're broken and you're battered and it's been hard and it's been year after year after year, you think you're no good for nothing. And you start living in holes in the ground. And that's what Gideon was doing. And yet the Lord came in the form of an angel and says, Gideon, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And church, I come to your heart today and I say, hey, what are you doing here? You've got so much more. Like, what? Don't stay in that place. Don't believe for that. Your mind is focused on little things, but God's called you to big things, extraordinary things, and he will supply all of your needs. That's the good news, church. You're not trying to supply all of your needs. It says he supplies all of your needs. That is good news. And you can trust them. And he is worthy of your trust. So I want to go back to Exodus chapter 25 just to help us out. So we looked a couple of weeks ago at the golden calf. You remember that? When people go wrong, they do bad stuff. And the children of Israel at that point, they build a golden calf. Now, a golden calf would be like you, I don't know, buy a car, getting it, well, buy a car, so let's go a bit further. But it'd be like you buy a car, and then you go play it, and then you, like, I don't know, start to love it every night, pray for it every night, start to worship it. And before you know it, it's better than your wife, it's better than your girlfriend, it's better than your kids. I love my car. You know, like, that's what they did with the golden calf. It was terrible, but they thought it was a great idea. Now, it didn't start off like that, and so we're going to read it. Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. It says, let them make me a sanctuary. This is the Lord speaking, that I may dwell among them. So the first idea of buildings, the first idea of a place where the Lord would dwell, his presence would dwell, comes all the way back from Exodus chapter 25. And it says that you should go and make a tent for me. So it wasn't to build a big building like we're going after. It was just a tent back then. That was it. So bring your fabric, bring your gold, bring whatever you have, because we're going to build a tent so the presence of God can dwell there. This was the plan of God. So God's always had a plan that he would dwell. Now, the incredible thing is, and the unbelievable news is that when we get to the New Testament, he's not interested in building tents anymore that his presence would dwell in. He's interested in building people and that we would be temples of the Holy Spirit and that his presence would dwell in us. Now, this is unbelievable because before you had to get to a tent to get the presence of God. Now you are people that carry the presence of God everywhere you go. It's why I call you church, because that's who you are. You carry the presence of God. You are temples. You're holy ones. Imagine that. You're thinking, what, really me? No, you are. You are temples of the Holy Spirit. And everywhere you go, the people around you, whether they realize it or not, they're at this church. Monday, on the farm, in the factory, with your family, it's church. Because you are there. We carry the presence of God. Ephesians 2:22 says like this, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So we're being built to become a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. That is unbelievable. So Old Testament, you build the tents to carry the presence of God. New Testament, God builds people to carry the presence of God. Saying, you're saying, well, where's the buildings come in? Well, have you looked at our weather? Have you looked at what's going on? So we're not building a building to get the presence of God. We're building a people, and we're building a place to hold more people. Amen? That's the idea. We're not building a bigger temple. Oh, if we get a better temple, we get a better version of God. No. We are making more room so that more people can come that are maybe a little bit like what you used to be, which were broken, battered, no hope, didn't know where you were going. And suddenly you come into a place and it freaks you out a little bit because so many people with smiles on their faces. You're like, why are you so happy? Because the Lord has transformed me. And then they find what we have. And suddenly like, this is incredible. Come on, church. What we have got in Christ is, it's just hard put into words. What he has done for me, what he has done for you, is he's taken you from the bottom and he has transformed you all the way up. You have a firm foundation in Christ, and he is wonderful in all his ways. Now, again, we just mentioned it. Here's what happens. Exodus 28, build a meeting place, build a tent. I'm going to come and dwell there. But by the time we get to Exodus 32, this is the problem with life. They have decided, we can't wait no longer. Moses, we don't know where he is. It's like 39 and a half days. But we don't know where he is. He's up a mountain or something. And he's way out doing his thing. And we got to do what we got to do. And so they decide, they come up with a great idea. Let's build a gold calf. Like, guys, can I just encourage you? Anytime you come up with a good idea to build a gold calf, not a good idea. Unless you're maybe a jeweler's, but just not a good idea. And so what they say to themselves is, we should build a golden calf so we can worship it. So because God's make a bit long, Moses has left us, we got to go get a golden calf. And you know how we're going to do this thing? We're going to take off our earrings. So it's like, anybody got any gold earrings? Let's melt them down. Let's go get a golden calf. You already know this thing's a disaster. You already know this was a terrible idea. But have you noticed that you're capable of terrible ideas? Maybe some people around you already noticed. But the problem back then was somebody come up with a good idea, actually a bad one, and then a person said, I think it sounds like a good idea. And then 10 people later, it's like, I think it sounds like a good idea as well. And then before you know it, there's the hundreds of thousands of people buying a golden calf. Ridiculous. Guys, if we're not careful and we don't understand the past, we repeat the past. Isn't that right? If we don't understand the pain of the past, if we don't understand the mistakes of the past, then we can repeat them into our future. And so we don't want to do that. And so my encouragement is this. People don't have a problem with giving. We just have a problem with giving to the wrong things. We're going to give today, but let me tell you, if you give to the Lord today, it will not be a bad thing. You'll be given to a good thing. Our problem is not giving. We give to things all the time. I got to give to my kids. I got to give to the tax man. I got to give to this person. I got to give to that thing. Something I don't need, but I give them anyway. You know, we give all of the time. Yet we have to remind ourselves, what am I really giving to? And is there a purpose? And is there a plan? And the problem with giving is we're pretty limited in our giving. So if we don't choose wisely when we really need it for something, we won't have it for that something. Because we'll have already given it away. And my encouragement today is, let's learn from the past so we get to a better future. By the time we get to verse chapter 35, here's the good news. The good news is, the golden calf's over. They've sort of drank it. Sorry to say that, but they sort of drank it. The golden calf's over. God has forgiven them. And they're back on the road again. Like, they're back. They're worshiping the Lord again. They're doing great. They're hopefully like us. We're back worshiping. Oh, Lord, we love you so much. Never going to leave you. You're like, we're doing good. The new song's making our world rock. You know, everything is working out good. And then God says, let's go. Let's get back to the original plan. He says, let's bring all that you have. We're going to get this temple built. We're going to get this tabernacle built. So point number one, as we get into it, is it starts with a stirred heart. And this is why we're going to learn from the children of Israel all the way back in Exodus 35. Because even though it's back then, there's still so much for us to learn today. And I think we can get some truth from it. Here's what it says. Exodus chapter 35, verse 5. Take from among you an offering to the Lord. So the Lord asks for an offering amongst the people. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord. Gold, silver, and bronze. Now notice this. It says a willing heart. God doesn't come to anybody and make them do anything that they don't want to do. He doesn't force anyone. It's not in him. He won't do it. It won't happen. So if you're feeling forced to give today, it's not him. It's something else. Don't feel forced. But what he will do is he will touch your heart. He will touch your heart. And it will come from the overflow of your heart. Because he says, whoever has a willing heart. Notice that. It might not have been everyone, but everyone has a willing heart. Then verse 21. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred. Everyone came whose heart was stirred. And everyone whose spirit was willing. And they brought their offering to the work of the Lord. This is incredible, church. This is unbelievable because it says that they came with a stirred heart and they came with a willing heart. In other words, the place where we got to start today when it comes to the kingdom of God, it's got to stir our hearts. It's got to stir our hearts. Because if it doesn't stir our hearts, it might come from a wrong motivation or from a wrong place. Now, here's the biggest snag of the whole thing. Our hearts can be full of everything. Do you know what I'm trying to say? It's like you could be offered the right things in life, but because you're so used to other things, you go, no, I think I'll leave it. You're like, really? Like, this is a good thing. No, I've just decided I'm going to leave it. It's because we don't fully understand. It's because our heart has got consumed with other things. It's like, it'd be like going to a gourmet restaurant and they're going, I'm a Michelin star like chef and I'm going to make you the best meal ever and I'm going to give it to you for free. No, I kind of like McDonald's. That's a kind of a bad move. You know what I'm trying to say? It's just a bad move. No slight on McDonald's, but the other is a next level type of thing that you can probably not afford in normal days and to get it for free. It'll be like God coming to you and going, I will give you the desires of your heart. But and those that dwell in the presence of the Most High, come on, it's like, come on, if you dwell in His presence, He gives you the desires of your heart. Oh, no, I think I just love her more. So I'm just going to go for her instead. Oh, okay. You know, it's like, but he's got so much more. Come on, church. We got to be careful because whatever's in our heart dictates our life. Whatever's in your heart dictates your life. If your heart's not getting stirred by the things of God today, it's because other things have got your heart. Do you know what I'm trying to say? If you're more concerned with how this looks and that looks and what you've got here and what you've got there, it's because other things have got into your heart, which is fine. Not beating you up for that, totally fine. But let me tell you, they will not prove as good as you think. They will not satisfy in the ways that you think. Because when you've got Him and He's got your heart, there's no one better than Him. Amen. Come on, church. He wants to stir your heart. And so let the Word of God stir your heart. Let the Word of God stir your heart. And as He stirs your heart, you'll be surprised what comes out next. And again, this is where the disconnect could be. Because sometimes He says to you, I want you to do this. You're like, but Lord, I don't do this. It's like years ago, the Lord wanted me to go on mission trips. I didn't want to go on them because I just thought it's too far away. I'm not going to like the place. It's going to be too hot. I could do it at home. It's going to cost me too much money. Like a whole bunch of things. But God kept stirring my heart for you. Keep stirring my heart. So what I'm trying to say is, church, there's a disconnect on what the Lord does in your heart versus what you do next. And this is where the tension comes. And this is where the trial comes. And this is why you got to spend time with Him. Because otherwise you will find yourself not going for the things of God because it's just like, I'm not used to it or I don't want that. So here's my encouragement. Spend time with God and watch how He stirs your heart for different things and for new things. You see, God said to the people, I want you to give from a stirred heart. I want you to give from a willing heart. For point number two, everyone has something to bring. This is what's so important, church. Everybody has something to bring. Look what it says in verse 29. The children of Israel brought a free will offering to the Lord. Good. Free will. It says all the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work, which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded them to do. So some brought gold, some brought silver, some brought silk, some brought all sorts of different things. But here's the incredible thing. Nobody stood back. Nobody stood back. Do you remember the story from the New Testament about that widow? It says that there was a widow, and obviously that means she's got no husband. And so back in those days, especially, if you had no husband, you had no support. You just had no, it doesn't work the same way as it works for us. Maybe you got to go Google it up to try and get the full context. But if you were a widow, that's why Jesus specifically highlights the widows and the orphans, because they had really no hope in life. Without the support of someone else, without the support. That's why many times the widow would try to find a new husband because she would need that support to survive. Otherwise, it was hell on earth. It was like, I'm not going to be able to live. But notice what happens. It says that Jesus asked for an offering one day in the New Testament, and a widow comes forward and she gives, let's just say it like this, two little pennies. There's only 2 pennies she had in her whole life. There's only 2 pennies she had left. And Jesus turns around and goes, wow, I have not seen faith like this. Church, it's not about the amount you give. It's about the heart that you give it with. It's about the sacrifice. It's about what is the heart behind that gift. He could see her heart. And he was like, my goodness, that is an offering like no other. My goodness, that is a gift like no other. So my encouragement today is you might be going, but I haven't got much to give. What if you've got more than you think? But what good would my little bit make? What if it made the same difference as a packed lunch did one day about 2,000 years ago when Jesus asked for a packed lunch? But what if it had the same effect? Because again, it's not about the total. Hear me on the heart of this. It's not about how little you can bring her. Like, what good would it be? Or I say, no, God's asked you to give from sacrificial heart, course. But he said, I know you'll never be able to give enough. But if you give what you can, watch what I will do. Watch what I will do. And I think that day when the boy comes, the little boy comes, or the widow comes, what they decided was, I'm going to trust Jesus more than I trust what I have. I'm going to trust Jesus more with it. And that's what they simply did. Give the packed lunch, give the 2 pennies. I'll trust Jesus more. That's what we're doing every time, church. We're trusting the Lord with it. Now, here's the good thing. We trust the Lord with our money. He does not fail. There's no fraud in the kingdom of God. You know what comes when it's God's money and he's taking care of it. There may be some fraud somewhere else, but let's trust the Lord on that one. But there is no fraud when it comes to him. It's like he's not deceiving us. He's not taking away from us. He's not robbing from us. He's not giving us something we didn't add up to. He's giving us more than you can imagine. He says, don't hold back. Don't stand back. Give the best that you can and watch what the Lord will do. You see, there will always be a little bit of sacrifice, but God is so faithful. Point number two, God's people end up with much more. Now, this is what I love in the story, church. Because again, you're going, well, but Lord, maybe we won't do it. And you know, some days you say to yourself, well, maybe I'll wait to the end just in case they're so far away, and then I'll keep my money because I kind of need it. Or, you know, like we're sort of hedging our bets. We're sort of deciding what's why comes out, because we're very wise, you know, as we do that. But here God says, verse 5, says, and they spoke to Moses saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do. So Moses gave a commandment, and it caused them to proclaim throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained. Notice this. The people were restrained from bringing any more stuff, from bringing any more money, from bringing any more materials. For the materials they had was sufficient for all the work to be done, and they too much. Oh my goodness. It's okay. So do you remember the story again from the feeding 5,000? It's like the brother packed lunches. The guys are like, how can little so little go so far? Like, Jesus, come on. Are you for real? And Jesus takes it. And by the end of it, like, I think we had too much packed lunch because we had 12 baskets left over. It's like, oh my goodness. It's like that packed lunch that we thought was so little that could never be multiplied. God multiplied it so good that we began to think, well, maybe we give him too much. But the little boy was like, I should have kept it back. Built 12 baskets left over. It was exactly the same here. See, the Lord never changes. Even all the way back in Exodus. Bring me all your gold, your silver, your garments. Then after a while, it's like, boys, you got to stop. You're bringing too much. Good, guys. Wouldn't this be so good today if Ian was over there wrestling the card machine off you? Going, stop doing it. We got more than enough money. It's all good. Could you imagine? Church, this is what was going on. They were like, stop bringing. We got everyone we need. We're all good. Keep some for yourself. What's going on here? Church, here's what's going on. When you get around the kingdom of God, radical becomes your new normal. When you get around Jesus, radical living just becomes the way you live. It's like when he met the disciples, he said, come follow me. They're like, sweet, we're out of here. When you meet him, your new normal becomes radical. The only problem is everybody else, because they go, you need to calm down about this whole Jesus stuff. No, they need to catch up. They need to get some of this stuff, because what you have found is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Church, I've heard this over the years. Oh, vibes, these slow down. Go too hard. We just got to keep moving at the grace of which God's given us. Amen? And we're only warming up. I got to tell you, we're only warming up. We did, this one was 45 in 8 weeks. Then we bought the land in 3 months, 175. We're going to get this million, whatever we need. Then we got to get the rest of the millions to finish it out. And then we're all the next one. Or maybe in between, we'll do the next one as well. Who knows, Lord? Who knows, church? But the Lord knows when we trust him. Because when you get in with him, you can't stop. We said the other week, guys, chapter 4, they go into the holy courts. They're meant to be sincere, quiet. And the boy's like, we can't stop talking about Jesus. He's touched our lives. He's transformed us. The woman at the well becomes the first evangelist. It's like she met a man, he told everyone she ever did, but I can't stop telling people about Jesus. Come on, church. When he touches your life, even your money you'll give away. Come on. When he touches your life, even your favorite football team go a good way. I see it before. Oh, my goodness. Like, somebody's like, fine, I'll be a hard one. But let's say, like a match could be on, and I see it, and guys come to prayer time, and I'm going, oh, God's doing something. Because you know that was a big log before, but now God's doing something. God's doing something. Church, when you start to see those little changes, you know, it's like you start to see it. Never, no, let's not talk about that. But anyway, you start to see the changes. You start to see it. It just happens. Like what you would never have done suddenly starts to become your new normal. And I want to say to you, this might sound outrageous today. Maybe it sounds crazy, you, the idea. Giving money to God, come on. Come on. But all I can share is testimony. All I can share is the word. When you give to God, he does something extraordinary with it. And somehow, some way, it blesses you in incredible ways. But the giving with the stirred heart is the most important thing. See, what I've noticed in life is the enemy's constantly trying to stop you from this. The enemy's constantly trying to... Isn't it interesting that God gets the people to a place where they're given abundantly, but it came through really tough experience. Came through the golden calf. Came through the golden calf. You're like, well, did they have to go through that? I think in life we have to go through a lot of things, not because the Lord needs us or wants us to, but because we're a bit silly sometimes. But the one thing I've learned from Jesus and one thing I've learned from the Lord, he uses those things to transform your heart. And suddenly now when the Lord comes, 32 to 35, it's only a few jumps. But in the lives of the Israelites, it was like, we did the golden calf. That was nonsense. God asked us again to give. We give all. Is it any wonder they couldn't stop giving? Because they realized the golden calf nearly destroyed us. The golden calf never nearly lost us everything. We thought Egypt was bad. We nearly died in the desert. But for the grace of God. And so when you've been forgiven, when you've been transformed, when you've had your life touched and you've had a few trials along the way and maybe you've got saved and then you've messed up a tiny bit and you've done this, you've done that, and then the Lord forgive you again, you're like, oh my goodness, when the next opportunity comes, I'm giving them my life, I'm giving them my time, and I'm giving them my money. And I'll do the best that I can with all those things because he is worth it and he is worthy. Here's the scarcity mindset. The scarcity mindset says, I'm not going to have enough. I'll give what's left. It's just going to be too difficult. I'm telling you, we serve a God of abundance. We serve a God of abundance, and he will not fail you. 2 Corinthians 9:8, here's what it says. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have an all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. I mean, here's what he's trying to say. Guys, I've got it covered. Because it's this. But he writes it in such a way through Paul. It's almost like legal language. I don't want you to get out of this one. I don't want you to try to find a loophole. I don't want you to go, but then this will be it. But that. No, look what it says. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have an all sufficiency and all things may have abundance for every good work. Guys, every base is covered. Every problem is sorted. Everything you think he can't cover, he's got it. So let me give you three quick keys to remember. He does not give you just enough to scrape by. He gives you an abundance for every great work. That's what he says. He doesn't give you an abundance, just a scarcity, just a scrape by. He gives you an abundance for every good work. And there may be times in your life you're going, I have just enough. But let me tell you, God has good plans. And God has not forgotten you. And God has not, his hand is on you. He's going to bring it right. Victory is going to come. Amen. Come on, church. Can I just give you this? This life is not it. This life is not it. I know that this is a fantastic life. And I love this life. And I love what the Lord has done. And we're constantly reminding, live an abundant life. But this life is not it. The most important life is yet to come. But I want to use this life to be a blessing for the kingdom of God. And the only purpose I have is to reach as many people as possible and to create as much room as possible and to share as much good news as possible and to look like an idiot as much as I can for Christ. Amen. So that I can be attractional in my life for the kingdom of God. Because that's the only thing. I'm sorted. If I die in the next minute, I go to glory. I am sorted. I'm 100% convinced on that. I know what he says. But the goodness of God says, I'm giving you more time. So you can reach as many people as possible. And I'm going to do it by any means possible without some. I'm going to go for it as hard as I can, as the best I can. So I hold on to nothing, church. I give all I can. I encourage you to think about the same stuff. Number two, you cannot give God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You know, this is a verse for me that I have. You can claim this verse. Let me say this, church. You can claim this verse when you have zero in the bank or you've got I don't know how much in the bank. You can claim it either way. But I've claimed it a million times over because sometimes I don't believe it. So I try to program myself to believe it. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I've got no money, but he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He will supply all my needs. I just got to keep trusting him. I'm going to give him what I have. It's like the woman again with the two mates. She's like, I trust you, Lord, because you own the cattle on a thousand hills. I'll give you my best. Come on, church. There's something the Lord's trying to stir in us. If you try to hold it, you lose it. If you give it, you'll find it. Number three, giving is not losing, it's worship. And this may be the hardest challenge of all. Because, again, depending on where you are with your work, walk with God, you're like, come on, giving to God is worship? Give me a break. You're just trying to manipulate me. No, I'm not. I'm just giving to you from the Word. In fact, I think the only thing you give money to, apart from the bills, which you're compelled to, in other ways, you'll probably go to prison. But apart from that, the only reason you give money to anything is because you tiny bit worship it. Tiny bit. That food, pretty nice. You know, it's like that, okay, it's helping me. You know, the team, this thing, that thing, whatever thing. Because I've got an investment. And when I give, I get something. When I give, I get something. When I give, I get something. You see, when it comes to the kingdom of God, we don't get to get anything. I give because of his great love. I give because of worship. I give what I can, knowing that he has no need of anything, knowing that he requires nothing, but I give it because I want to give my best to him. Amen. That's the worship we're talking about, church. I give to him because I want to worship him. So as we sort of wrap up, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity to give, what are we really building here? You know, church, I want to remind you that the seats that we sit in are so important, aren't they? You know, they're because they represent a person. They represent what the Lord wants is that people would come and fill these seats. You know, many times, again, you might think it's silly, but many times we have prayed over the seats. Like literally, not because we think we love the seats, the great seats, we got them for free, it's a blessing. They were a mighty miracle to us. But because we recognize that the people that sit in these seats, they can experience the Lord through our prayer. They can experience the Lord through our goodness. And so we pray for them because we say, Lord, we want anyone that sits in these seats to receive. We want anyone that sits in the seats to receive from the kingdom of God. And we pray the same for the cafe. Anybody comes in, let them experience the presence of God. Let them experience the love of God. Let them experience his goodness. Amen? And so when we're saying we're building, we're actually just building to make room for people. That's all it is. We're building to make room for people because we believe people have a purpose. And we believe there's a million other people out there and that the need will be half. Like, we have a foundation. Anyway, this just for a minute, guys. Every decision that you make, hopefully every decision you make, is biased towards, what does the word say? What would a Christian do? There's a whole lot of that going on without you even realizing. Because you have a foundation that's transformed your life. Because when you came to Christ, he built the foundation of you, and then from that place, everything else. That's extraordinary. But what if you don't a little? And what if you don't have that foundation? Then when troubles come, when issues come, when life comes, where do you turn to? ChatGPT, what do you think? Even Christians do that. Like, phone a friend, what do you think? You know, Google, what do you think? Doesn't really know. Doesn't really know you. Doesn't really know you. Do you know who knows you? God. You did. He knows you, the innermost parts. He was there when you were a bit. His hand is on your life. His hand was upon your life, even in the womb. He knows every single detail of it. He knows your thoughts. He knows the thoughts you will have, the thoughts you've had. He knows all details about you. It's not such good news. But if you don't know that, if you don't know him, then ChatGPT signs course up because it doesn't judge him right. You know what I'm saying? This. I'm not condemned with that. I'd
probably do the same as I did that room. But when I've got him and I have a community around me, it's one message. Church, will you pray for me? Does you regret me though? All the mess, the hardest mess I got this week. Sexful words, it says, remind the church to referee. As I'm in salt, I'd rasp from prayer. Because it's easy sometimes to not ask, was you like, oh, there would be a bird. Where no one was thinking anyone was interested with you, when you're not into your best or you're being the miracle, you start to quit others for yourself. But that's the way of the kingdom, church. That's the way of the kingdom. But so get asked. So get asked. So imagine, Jesus had a text in the middle of the woods to say, can I guess like prayer? What do you do when you don't know the Lord? Where do you go? What do you think? buy a lottery ticket, hope to win. It's going to be that'll cheer me up. Maybe that'll be nice. You know, maybe go for a good night out and have her come to drinks because maybe I'll take my pee away. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We've been there. You know what doesn't work. I'm telling you, be off here and what every other church, and I will even open past the seal day, any church that loves the Lord has, is a place of examples, forgiveness, and transformation. A place that will turn any life aright. That will take a Hitler and make it a Jesus. Come on, let's be real. That will take a Saul and make it a Paul. That will take anybody that's willing to bend the knee, anybody that's broken enough, but will say yes to Jesus, could become crap politics. Paul. The community we have, the foundations we have. Church, what we're trying to achieve is not build a big building to buy beer. Not interested, not. Love the church to our mind. But what I'm convinced of is that if we are believing and praying for revival, there's no offer. There's just not a free. You see, it only takes a very youth for us to get British. You know, not a fruit, too stuffy, too warm, not too bad. It's like, 30? What if he says 300? What are we going to do? Will you give up your seat? I'll give up my seat. What are you going to do? Gonna die. You need to fellowship, not to please. You need to be at the cry. You need to be Wittenberg, the body of Christ. So, church, it's serious business. We're not giving because it's a bouncy idea. We're not giving because we're gonna look good. We're not giving because we want by to be the best church in our mind. No. We are giving because God has compelled us by her. We are giving because He's given us a glorious vision that says, guys, if you would put your hand in the plow, you will apply the stoop. We're given because He's already given us $2 billion in the past. We've already got $300,000 in the bank. And He said, if you keep going, you'll get this. And then after that, if you keep going, you'll get even more. And guess what? You'll get even better than all of that is. You'll get more room and more precious people to come. And they will go, I'm so glad to find a place like this. I'm so glad to find a people like this. And you're going, I think I'm only a tiny bit ahead, but it's okay. Because I'm so glad we're in this like here. Church, we're going to give by faith today. And I hope that your heart is stirred. And I want you to give. And I want you to give us love. And if you don't want to give, sure, you stay on the seat. Don't give a penny. But if your heart is being stirred, when your heart is being ready, you're part of what God is better here. Or there are no level, no small minutes to love. Give for the cop. Don't stand on the fence. Don't know how to lie. Give the best to him. Give a cop today.
Want to read one last verse. 1 Samuel 17:37. This is the story of David Goliath. David has seen the hand of God. Have you seen the power of God? Verse 37, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with him. Yeah. Church, we are born, I think it's build a project in September, October, the Lord will be with us. Amen. We have seen the lion and the bear. That's true. We have seen the 45, we've seen the 175. We're going to see the one lady. Don't be stressed with that. Don't be worried about that. You give what you want. And watch what the Lord put there. The boy in his pack lunch, he had no idea he had half a dex. But the Lord multiplied him so good that there was 12 baskets left. Amen. Come on, let's stand together. We're going to pray. And then we're going to give ourselves an opportunity to give to the Lord. I'm going to pray the Lord stir your heart. That fear would go. That worry would go. The doubt would go. And I simply said like this. Don't miss out on the fault. Be part of what the Lord is doing. And give with faith. And give with bold. Say, man, come on, let's pray. Lord, and thank you for your goodness today. Lord, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to do this. Lord, I thank you brought us this far. I thank we've come this far. And look what the Lord has done. It is incredible. It is amazing. Lord, there are many out there that are not at this point, and we crave it because we want our church to expand and grow, not just numerically, but physically, because we need it. We need more room for people. We need the facilities. No, we're not asking for luxury. We're just asking for the right facilities. That's all we need. We'll do what we got. But Lord, I pray today, Lord, that you would bless us and stir us. And I pray, Lord, is where we come to give to there. Come on, we don't come under obligation of her. We come over the light, though that we can only give what He's already given us. Lord, we give our best because we know that the Lord has already given us. He will also give there again and again and again. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for your love towards us. And thank you for the joy of being able to give to this hand of her. Jesus, mighty.